August 7, 2018, Pine Low Camp, meeting 1 in the morning.
So from time to time we'll turn it around. When you see it, you can wave if you want, or you can look real spiritual if you want, or you can say, "Hi, Mom," you know, or whatever you want to do. But people love to see people. People love to see their brothers and sisters and in the church. So we'll be doing that. Now, in order to broadcast some, not bad news, but we have a fairly strong signal in here. But I need it. I need all the broadband I can get. So what does that mean? You need to turn your phones off. Sorry. But go to airplane mode, or make sure the Wi-Fi is turned off. You can use your regular phone, but the Wi-Fi, you can hit the Wi-Fi button. Now, when church is over, you can turn it back on. This is only during the meetings. So if you would turn off your Wi-Fi button, and we'll have enough broadband. Okay. Those of you that come up from time to time that may have a testimony or you want to sing, there's some white tape up here. And if you would stay within the white tape, which is from about here to over here, if you try to stay in that area, we'd appreciate it.
Got me all nervous now, Andy, on TV or whatever. It's wonderful to be at this camp. I was just telling the brethren it was so great to be in the dining hall last evening. When it came up to where at 6 o'clock, we were wondering if anybody was coming for supper, but a lot of them showed up and had wonderful fellowship through the evening, and it was just glorious, really, the whole time. And that's just the beginning. We're privileged to be able to begin to meet in a little bit more formal way now than we did last night. But this is a family camp, and we want everyone to be a family, which we are. And so I was just to think about this as your home assembly. What would you be doing in your home assembly? And this is a little different from the North Battleford camp because there are more people there. But here we have a little less crowd, but a few more people than you have in your home assembly. But it's very much like your home assembly in that you need to exercise your ministry throughout this whole camp. And we want to see, we want to hear from everyone, and in one way or another, and the Lord will guide as to what that will be. It could be in the service or outside of the service. We've got all day long where we're communicating with people and fellowshipping. And our ministry is there, and it goes out from us, but we also receive from others. We need to learn to be good listeners. And being a good listener means that you're going to spend more time listening than talking. Some of us have to learn that. We love one another, and we want to go from here having learned a little more about each other and learned a lot from the Lord and have grown. And so just be ready to participate in whatever way the Lord leads. And this camp will be different from any other camp that we've ever been in, because the Lord doesn't, he's not one to fall into a rut or a routine. So we'll look forward to some wonderful things at this camp. I wonder if we could just bow in prayer. Maybe you could just stand together for a minute and praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here. Dear Lord, we pray. We know that you will bless us. We know from past experience that you always bless us when we come together and we worship you in spirit and in truth, when our hearts are in the right place, that we don't just sit back and wait for something to happen, but we are there. We are entering in. We are entering in as you taught us to enter in. And we want that experience of that full experience of the Holy Spirit coming down and enveloping us in a greater way than we've ever experienced before. Father, we stand ready to receive what you have for us, and we just ask you to bless this camp in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I can tell I'm going to need lots of Kleenex in this camp. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I don't want to take too much time before we sing, but I would like to read a scripture to begin the camp, and it's found in Colossians in the 3rd chapter. And it's what Paul said. He had ministered to the Colossians, and then this was sort of his closing remarks, very familiar to us, but I just think we need to keep them clear in our minds. He says, Paul said, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," that's amazing, we're holy, and God considers us as his chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We don't have any of those to forgive, but if we do, we need to forgive them. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you... Stir it here. Should have somebody else read. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Now, if we're going to teach and admonish anyone, we need to do it with wisdom. We need to be very careful about that. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, this is what's going to happen this week. With gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I was going to have the traveling brethren come up and for a minute. I think I'll leave that now. I think enough words have been said, and I'd like to go to a song. Maybe we'll do that later. Hazel, will you come and play? She doesn't do that just as the Spirit leads. She just does it when I ask her to. And we're going to, this is a song that's, you know, I sometimes come to a service and my singing voice is not very, very good. It's a little croaky. And it's mostly because I haven't sung for several days. But we should be singing songs and hymns. We know there are people who are singing or humming, or they have that melody in their hearts all the time. And I would like to have that, but I don't all the time. And days go by. Anyway, this one's going to get all the cobwebs up out. It's on page 53 of the Red Book.
Myron,
yes?
There are song books right at the back underneath. There's two left. The wall lights, if anybody needs a song book.
Okay, yeah. Song books at the back, if necessary, if you need them. There aren't as many as there... Oh, there... Okay, good. There are a few there. Get your songbooks, turn to page 53. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever men may say. We've heard people say something else. They've said, no, it doesn't live. But we know he does. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and sing this to the Lord. Is it working? Okay.
I serve a risen Savior. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives.
Up the tempo a little bit.
Oh,
Come onto these campgrounds, I have a lot of memories. And we've had the privilege of coming here many times. We lived in Regina for many years, and when our family was growing up, and our routine in the summer was to go to North Battleford Camp, Then come August, I would check my work schedule, and it was amazing that the Lord seemed to set things aside. I'm having a tough time this morning. But we were just so blessed that He made a way for us to come to camp, and so our routine was to come to the camp here or the one on the West Coast and then go up to Vancouver and visit our in-laws up there and back to Regina, routine. So many, many memories here in this camp. And as I look on page 51, I see a song called "Ho, Everyone That Is Thirsty." And I remember Frank Patterson singing that song. And what a blessing it was. And every time I see it, I think of that particular time. And it says, "Ho, everyone that is thirsty in spirit." It just means come. Everyone who is thirsty in spirit. Come, everyone who is weary and sad. I don't think there's anybody here like that, but this morning, because the Lord is blessing us. Come to the fountain. There's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be glad. Praise the Lord. Oh, everyone that is thirsty in spirit. Oh, everyone that is weary and sad. Come to the fountain, there's fullness in Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's on page 85 if you have the expanded version of the Red Book, 85 in the back. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. How true. How blessed we are that He would help us. Let's sing it together.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
Thank you. Thank you. you would be one, even as he was one with the Father, that you would be one together. That is just not a oneness, but that is encompassing your completeness in Christ. For you will not be known by your old name,
Amen.
Nor your old life, Thanks. Nor the things that the Lord hath saved you from, but you shall be known by the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For you are a new creation, saith the Lord. Come and rise up where you are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Let the old fall away and embrace the new, saith the Lord your God. For you are a new creation. Yea, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Let all things become new. Honor the Lord your God. Yea, honor the Lord in your heart and in your life, that he might lift you up, that he might exalt you, saith the Lord, that he might envelop you in himself, for you are one, saith the Lord.
Yea, know ye not what I have done for you? Yea, if I showed you the darkness and the depravity that was in you before I came unto you and died on the cross for you, yea, you would squirm like a worm. You would say, I am a person who is undone. Yea, there is no hope for me. But yea, I came and I died on the cross for you, and I gave you salvation. And yea, I have given you a hope for the future. Yea, I am with thee, and I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For yea, what I have begun in thee, yea, I will finish. Yea, have faith in me. Believe in me, and yea, I will accomplish all that I have spoken over thee and have said unto thee.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yea, surely I say unto thee, everything that you need is available through my name, saith the Lord. Yea, there is peace in my name, saith the Lord. Yea, there is power in my name. Yea, there is deliverance in my name. Yea, there is victory in my name, saith the Lord. Yea, do not look elsewhere for what you need, my people. Yea, because everything you need is available in my name, saith the Lord.
For my children to follow in the wilderness? Did they not follow the cloud in the day, saith the Lord? But yea, I have sent my Holy Spirit to you, that my Holy Spirit will carry you on, saith the Lord. My Holy Spirit will wrap his arms around you and take you into the kingdom, saith the Lord. It will not be by your strength or your righteousness, saith the Lord, but my Holy Spirit that I sent to you will carry you, saith the Lord.
Upon you, and are you not mine, and have I not chosen you, and are you not selected by my hand?
Yes.
Yea, my people, know ye not, all you have to do is flee to me.
Yes.
Yea, will I not extend my arm and gather you close and comfort you and sustain you? Yea, even as I sustained the prophet in the wilderness, will I not sustain you?
Seated. I just remembered that we were told that when we come up here, we should say our name and where we're from, because this is being broadcast and not being broadcast right now. Well, that's a relief. Anyway, we do have the blessing of being able to broadcast some of the meetings from time to time, and it was interesting to me with the North Carolina meetings when we said that's not going to happen with that, and Don Maxwell was there with his phone up there and took us into some of the meetings, and we appreciated that very much. So, we need to. Quite often, people will come up to the platform and never say their name because we assume everybody knows who it is. But maybe we shouldn't be doing that all the time. But I would like the traveling brethren to come up here on the platform and just stand with me and just let the Lord lead you as to what you might want to say, if anything. But I think that maybe there are some encouraging words that each of you might have, and don't forget to say your name and where you're from. Come on up, please. So I'm Byron Price, and my home is in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Praise God. And before the camp's over, we're going to know everybody here, even the people that have come in that we haven't been here before or we may not know. I'm going to be making a list available. I guess there are a few more people than we have on the list. A few more people showed up today for the camp, which we appreciate very much. I'll add them to the list, and then I'll print a number of copies of the list so that you can all see who's here. And if somebody introduces themselves to you and you're like me, 10 minutes later you've forgotten their name, you can look on the list and maybe find it there. So anyone here who'd like to say something this morning?
Hi, Vera. It's wonderful to be here. I'm Brian Hannigan. My wonderful wife, Marjorie, is here with me. I'm so thankful. I think that we are on the verge of something so phenomenal that God wants us to just quietly, gently enter into. When the prophecy just came about the cloud of the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke, I thought about a message that came years ago that said that God would lead us in an anointing of feeling. And then we would not leave that but go into an anointing of knowing. And I think that the children of Israel were in that anointing of knowing because they could always see that pillar of fire or that cloud. The pillar of the cloud. But when they crossed into the promised land, they left that behind. And I think that God is teaching us, like the prophecy said, it'll be the Holy Spirit that will take us in to all that He has for us. And this is an exciting time to be in the presence of the Lord. I have to admit, I come to camps with a lot of apprehension and a lot of self-doubt. But soon the waves of the Holy Spirit takes over and I find out what's real and what's not. And it's God who's real. Praise His name.
I'm Wayne Peters from Winkler, Manitoba, Canada. Had explained that a few times. Where is Winkler? Where's Manitoba? We bought a GPS at Walmart. Guess what? It doesn't have Canada on it. So from a Mennonite background, and they can squeeze a nickel, they flattened out that beaver's tail big time. Probably when we hit the border, we won't need it anymore. And so they have a return policy. I learned a few things from that. He's behind me all the way. Who here has been prophesied over that they would have a ministry towards children? People are slightly raising their hands. I see a little fear. They say when you talk about mothers and authority and ministry, can you imagine the children that are being raised rule the world? What an awesome responsibility and blessing that is to all the mothers. And our children need to be taught. And I was saying that in the Sharon Star, anybody remember the Children's Corner? How many people would go there first? A lower percentage than I thought. Anyway, I would encourage... I know that the children are going to minister to us probably on Saturday or Friday. I don't know which day. But I would like the people that have a ministry with children to really seek God, you know, to maybe have a service with the children and ministering to the children and ministering to us adults. You know, sometimes, you know, my brother-in-law, Paul, his wife, Diane, she said, you know, we talk about sons of God or manifestation of sons of God. And here these kids, a lot of us don't even know what that means. You know, and some of these people that have a ministry to children, they can just break things down and explain it in such a nice way that I can learn a lot. And so I'm just going to encourage you to take your liberty sometime this camp. We've had times for the intercessors to play a big role. But I would really like to hear the children's ministry in action. God bless you as we look for God's moving by His Holy Spirit this weekend or this week.
I'm Nathaniel Swan. It's my wife, Carol. We're from Canada, too, eh? We're from Ontario. I've only been there 20 years, but she was born there. We're in her hometown. And a lot of them don't say good morning. They say, so how are you now? So, as I can say that, so how are you now? I'm feeling pretty good after this morning so far. And the Holy Spirit is really moving. I think I'm like Brian. I have high expectations for what the Holy Spirit's going to do in each of our lives during these few days that we're here. And as he was saying, let's join in whatever your ministry is. I know sometimes you can feel timid, but just ask the Lord for strength to enter in however the Holy Spirit is flowing. As the prophecy said, the Holy Spirit's going to take us in, not ourselves. Let's forget about ourselves and let the Holy Spirit carry us in to where He wants us to be. Let the Holy Spirit lead us in, if it's singing or prophecy, whatever. Let's just look to the Lord and be strong and courageous, as our brother Mike wears that T-shirt to breakfast. Strong. Joshua, let's be strong and courageous in the Holy Spirit. Yes. And just launch out and don't think of yourself. think of what you're adding as a portion of Christ to the body of Christ. Yes. Amen. It's good to be here.
I'll just give you a simple greeting. My name's Andy Snoke. I think most of you know it. We brought a lovely little group from Colorado with us, and we're looking to the Lord to move this week and to touch all of us. And as we look at the week, we don't even know exactly what the Lord has. I was here checking out some stuff yesterday afternoon, and one of the workers that provides a camp, she said, who are the speakers this week? Who are the speakers? Are you one of the speakers? And I thought for a minute, what's the proper way to answer that? And I said, the Holy Spirit's the speaker this week. We don't really know who's going to do the, who will be the mouthpiece, but we know it'll be the Holy Spirit. And that is what we want, the Spirit of God to move in a tremendous way in our meetings here. Now, we're going to try to do a broadcast later tonight. They have an IT guy coming over to try to help us out this afternoon. And one of the reasons I like to do this, we were on this morning for about 20 minutes is all. And during that 20 minutes, we have a dear brother in the church in the United States that had a horrific car crash, busted up his arm and his leg and his hip, and he's had several surgeries, and he's got several months of recuperation ahead. He was watching the meeting. He can't come to a camp. That's why I like to do this. There he was for 20 minutes at our meeting. One of our traveling deacons in the Philippines stayed up late at night in his nighttime, 10 p.m. He was in the meeting this morning for 20 minutes. That's why we like to do this. These little broadcasts go all over the world so quickly, instantly, and people are blessed and encouraged. So we're just going to look to the Lord to see if there's a way we can reestablish that connection so that others can join in the blessing that we're having. God bless you.
Blessing to be here, and I think at camp we found that as the meeting started, there was something that really stuck, that the message on love and how we should be with each other really kind of came through. And as our brother was reading in Colossians chapter 3, he didn't read from the King James, but I'd like to just read this again. And this is Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, where Brother Byron is reading. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And as our brother was speaking, it just stood out to me so much that, there's a spirit that's working to polarize you, to get you so caught up in the pace of life that your anxiety level is high. And that's not what God wants. God wants you to take time to not just read his word, but to talk to him, to fellowship with him, and to look at Christ. And as we look at Christ, as we see what the Spirit of Christ is, then our spirits can blend in with that. We can look at replying to the things that are facing us each day with mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, and long-suffering. And then it says, and the peace of God will rule in your hearts. As you look to that, the peace of God will rule in your hearts. If we look in the scriptures, beginning in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I just want to read, there's actually quite a few verses, but I know our time is short. I don't want to take too long. But in John chapter 1 and verse 3, it's actually starting from, it says, "In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And this is talking of Christ. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." It says in 1 Corinthians 8, if you'll turn with me to there. You know, sometimes I can seem to go around in circles and you can't tell where I'm going, but hopefully this will become clear as we just look at a couple of scriptures quickly. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we of Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." It goes on to say in Ephesians 3 and 9. And it says in Hebrews that He is in these last days spoken to us by His Son, by whom He made the worlds. So we get a picture here that that the heart of God was in creation and He appointed it to Christ to create all things. And it says that again. When we look in Ephesians chapter 3 and 9, "to make us see what is a fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." And then in Colossians, of course, we're familiar with the chapter in Colossians where it talks about Christ. Chapter 1 and verse 16. Well, let's go up to verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And I want you to understand, as you look at the scripture and as you look at Christ, this was not Christ acting as some kind of servant for God, but there was a participation because they were one, as they said. And God's heart was his heart. And he created all of these things and created all of this creation, as was God's heart. And then as the Creator, he came and was made in the image of man to a creation that had turned away from him and became made not as a king, but as Ephesians said, or as Philippians says in chapter 2, that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, or didn't think that equality with God was the thing to be strived after. But he who created all things, and by whom all things consisted, left that glory, left that place with God, and made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I want you to think about that, that the one who created all things for the pleasure of God came and was made the lowest of men and died a tortured death, a cursed death. That's why those of the kind of church, I guess, at that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, couldn't believe that he was a Messiah because he died a cursed death. And that's what they said. But he did it to redeem mankind because of the love he had for his creation, and because the love that was in the Father's heart for his creation. And that, think about that. What kind of love, what kind of compassion, what depth of feeling could propel a person who was the Creator? He didn't come as a king. He didn't come to seek honor. He said that. I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life as a ransom for many. What kind of powerful love and compassion and caring for you did he have? And the most important thing is that same power of love, that same compassion, that same depth of grace and mercy is yours and is mine. Every one of us can have that same depth through the Holy Spirit that he had, because the same Spirit that empowered him is the gift to us. We can walk in our nature, human nature, or we can give way to the nature of Jesus Christ and walk in it. And it says here, I wanted to take you to another place and talk about something that is related, but not quite the same. Brother Luff talked about the spirit man, the soulish man, and the body, the fleshly man. And I want to talk to you about the beginning, Adam. So God said, let us make man in our own image. And so he made, this is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Brother Luff was mentioning that that the death that was took place when Adam and Eve sinned was the death of the spirit man. And I want to talk because the first part of the first part of Genesis from chapter 1 down to chapter 3 of or verse 3 of chapter 2 are actually one part. We know that the Bible didn't get divided up until later on in history, that it was all one. There were no chapters, verses, things like that until it was divided up by different members of the church. And so there's this summary that it talks about God did this, God did that. That's Elohim. And then verse 4 of chapter 2, it says the generations of the heaven and earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God, and that's a different name. Jehovah Elohim is the redemptive name of God. So then begins in verse 4 the story of redemption. There isn't two stories of creation, which some people can say, oh, well, there's two stories of creation. There is a story of the God who just did it. And then there's a story that begins of redemption, of Jehovah Elohim working. And so redemption starts right here in Genesis. And so here's the story of Adam and Eve. And God had said, it isn't good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And so he created Eve. And after he created Eve, it says in, this is chapter 2, verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now we know that Adam didn't have a mother or a father, did he? So what he's saying here, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's prophetic. It's not just Adam saying it. It's prophetic, and Jesus confirms that in Matthew. You'll turn to Matthew. So in Matthew, Matthew chapter 19, so it says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, and just Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and they had asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for cause? And I'll just preface this with something. A lot of times when we speak about things and you've maybe in your life not had the same experience, you know, we're talking about young people being not getting into sin and all of these things, people can feel condemnation. We talk about, because I'm started here talking about marriage, people can feel condemned, and we shouldn't. Because we're under the redemption of Christ. And though it is God's desire for everyone to have a perfect life and to stay away from sin, as I've mentioned, that wasn't my experience. There is something more important than having a perfect life, and that's having a perfect heart and having the Spirit of God in your life. And that's what it says here. It says God is a spirit. And God is looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's the truth of God's Word. It's all about the Spirit. It's not about the rules you live by. It's about the Spirit you live by. And God wants us to live by His Spirit, because it's His Spirit that's doing the work. Rules and regulations are a guideline that they will never take us into the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit and the right Spirit will take us into the kingdom of God. And so here in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is saying and answering them when they asked, because they were all about law and rule and regulation. And Jesus answered them and said in verse 4 of chapter 19 of Matthew, and He answered and said unto them, have you not read that He which made them in the beginning made them male and female? He. Who's that? Who's He? God. And said, He who made them said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And all of these things are type and example. And if we read in Timothy, Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam, and Paul talks about the first Adam and the second Adam. Adam was not deceived. When his wife transgressed God's law and partook of the apple, he partook of the apple to redeem his wife, because God had stated His will. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. It was a declaration, God's declaration. And Adam knew what God wanted. Some of the brethren in the early time wrote about this Adam. Adam was not like us. It was an Adam whose spirit man was alive and functioning, who had spiritual power, who had communion with God on a level we don't understand, who knew what God's plan was. Who was he talking to in the garden? Not just God, but God complete. The one who made all things for God was there too. Jesus was not just, Jesus has been with His creation. What does it say about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fire? There was four of them, and one was like unto the Son of God. What does Paul say about Israel? That they drank from that spiritual rock, and the rock that followed them was Christ.
This is a Christ that has been deeply involved with his creation from the beginning. That has been deeply involved with you from the beginning. That through the Spirit of God has felt everything that you felt, has gone through everything that you've gone through. And who chose to be tortured so that you could know that he was tempted in all points like unto you, but without sin, and made a way of escape for you in your temptation. There is a path to deliverance. There's a path to redemption. There is a path by one who has felt more than you could ever feel. Who knew the beauty of God, who knew the glory of God and left it for you, who cares about you so much, and who wants us to be so dedicated to each other. You see, it's just not about husband and wife. Husband and wife is the foundation of God's order and the foundation of the kingdom. And what he wants for husband and wife, he wants for brother and sister. And he wants not just for brother and sister, but for creation. You can, by the Spirit, love creation as Christ loves creation, as God the Father loves creation. We have to just submit to the depths of that Spirit that he has for us. So this is repeated again. We know where it's repeated, but I'll go there anyway. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you this week, as we look at these things, to think, and as you think about these things, I'd like you to look at stepping into God's anointing and into what God has for you in your ministry in a way that you've never gone in before. It's not just about church. It's not just about your gift in church. Your gift is for creation. There's a function that God has for you as you partake of the anointing that is going to be far beyond that you can imagine. So, Ephesians chapter 5. I'll start actually in verse 20 of chapter 5. Submitting yourselves to one another, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The giving of thanks, when it's talking about giving of thanks, it's not talking about lips. It's talking about your being, having a heart of thanks. Having an understanding that Christ, that God the Father is with you. God the Father is with creation. He's not fighting fires. He's not doing crisis management. It says of Christ that he's a Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. This thing was planned. In the minutest detail, your life was planned before the foundations of the world. It says that in the first chapter of Ephesians, that before the foundations of the world, you were called. God has every part of your life covered. He understands it. Does he want you to experience certain things for a purpose? Yes, he does. I wouldn't have wished my life as a child upon anybody. And it does things to you that you have to get out of. The Lord has to work out of you, right? Unfortunately for my family, he didn't get rid of everything. And so there's things that pass on to your family. And I wished I would have known some of what I know now when I was
in my 20s and 30s when I was starting out with my family. Because I would have known how to deal with their temperaments and the struggles they have. And to be, as the Bible said, tender and forbearing and forgiving. You know, some people have high anxiety. And they get excited about things and they get worried. And they don't need someone to stomp on their emotions and stomp on them. They need someone to empathize with them and say, you know, I understand it. And the Bible says to speak kindly to them. And to speak gently to them. And to cover their anxiety. Because we're all different in the natural. How are we going to get anywhere together if we can't have the empathy of the Holy Spirit? And if you can't handle that, then you need to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, help me to deal with people that are high anxiety. Help me to deal with those hyper people that... and a lot of times people that are really kind of pushy or right in your face all the time are not doing that because that's the way they are. They're doing that from inferiority. They're doing that from the anxiety that's driving them. And you need to be compassionate for that. You need to be loving for that. You need to understand that. You know, I'll just share this. I've had my kids say things to me that were really kind of shocking or... my son said to me, well, how come you can be in functioning in the church and you can be counseling all these people and you never bothered to counsel me? But true, right? True. How many times we get busy with our work and with things and we don't take time in situations to really dig down and find out what's driving behavior. How many times do we react to behavior? And behavior is communication. And don't bother to dig down and ask and ask the questions and be compassionate and gracious enough to find out what's driving that behavior. Christ did. Who did Christ minister? He ministered to all the misbehaving people, right, in society. The street people, the cast-offs, the ones that were written off by the scribes and the Pharisees with no hope of getting into the kingdom. And Christ said, no. You can repent just like everybody else and enter into the kingdom of God. So here he says, giving thanks. Giving thanks from your heart is an expression of faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in what he's doing in your marriage. Have faith in what he's doing in the church. Have faith in what he's doing in your community and in the country. God's going to take care of it. His kingdom is going to come. His righteousness is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's an absolute. And he's asking you to be a participator in that. Not the way we think. Not rulership or ordering things the way we think. But a minister of reconciliation. A person who has the love and the mercy and the grace and the compassion of Christ flowing out of them in a way we don't understand. That will bring everything into order.
There's a reason why Proverbs says a soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer breaks bones. All of those things that the Bible's talking about, there is tremendous wisdom, spiritual life in these words. Amen. And we're called to be epistles, not written with ink, but written with the Spirit of God and known and read of all men. The Bible that some of the brethren have said, sometimes the only Bible people will ever read is you. And you having the right spirit makes all the difference. Better get on with it here. Okay. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Is there a reason why this little section starts out with that? Yes, because that's the bottom line. We need to submit to each other. Submitting to each other's ministry, submitting to each other's advice that isn't necessarily coming from their mouth. Being aware of what they're speaking to you through every part of their life, through their body language. I mean, through... We can be aware, you know, I've had some discussions with with people about my I'm ADHD and I have a little Asperger's and that, and I'm not the most aware person, you know. The guy I worked for, he said, because he noticed a lot, he said, well, you're just not the sharpest tool in the shed, you know. And he would, if I was working with him, he'd always work a little ways away. Because I'm missing fingers here, and I have kind of things here and there and all over. Scars of life, I guess you call it, you know, more than just internal scars. And I have damaged him at times. So, but it's good. And I ask the Lord, and I think anybody who has struggles in those areas, you have to ask the Lord to help you in those things, right? What's the most important thing is to have a vision. Isn't that what the Bible says? Have a vision. God's not asking us to be perfect. In fact, perfect doesn't enter into it. The perfection that the Bible talks about is actually maturity. He's talking about, hey, can we work together towards this vision? Can we? Can we function in our family knowing that we're both imperfect and that our children are imperfect and that we're imperfect parents, and through the grace and mercy of Christ grow together in Him? Isn't that what God's not looking for a perfect church. I mean, He makes that so clear in the Bible. He has not chosen the mighty or the wise. He's taken those things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. And isn't that what He's going to do? I don't see great people, but I see a lot of people that I love as brothers and sisters. And that's far more important to me. The most important part of a greeting isn't whether a person calls you by your first and last name, but the brother and the sister. Isn't that the most important thing? I love it when I hear brother, because that's family. That's implying family, isn't it? And we are family. I'm really getting off here, but anyways, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and He is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave it Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And that's the key. What nourishes and cherishes is what our brother read at the beginning. The kindness, the tenderness, the forbearance, the mercy. That's what nourishes and cherishes a relationship both ways. Because we are imperfect. There is a place for discipline, and there is a place for order. But how you function in that is the key to how it works. And God has said that He will provide the way to function. As our brother read at camp, when he read the love chapter, he said, this is not something you can do. This is a love that comes from God, who has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There's no lack. There has to be a willingness and an obedience to leave the way we want to do it and follow the way Christ wants to do it. And to believe that we don't have to intervene, the Holy Spirit will deal with it. The Holy Spirit will be faithful to us to carry through what the need is. And I know all of us could share about times when we just didn't trust and thought we'd kind of help things out, and we all know what happens, you know. And we all have those experiences, and that's not a bad thing. It's growth as we learn by experience how to walk with the Lord day by day. And as a church, how to walk with the Lord day by day. We are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. And then He repeats this. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The first Adam that wouldn't leave his wife, but partook of death, had the same spirit as the second Adam, who partook of death for his wife, us, the church, his creation, who is wanting us to do the same thing, be crucified with Christ, that the life of Christ may permeate every part of us, every relationship, every function that we have. If we will be crucified with Christ, if we will die to self, there won't be a vacuum. There will be Christ in a way we've never known before. We will be ministers of reconciliation in a way we don't understand. It'll be reconciliation flowing not just from our words, from our ministry, from the ministry of the church coming together. I pray that this week, as we look to the Lord, as we really examine our hearts and lives, we can let go of everything. We can let go of all of those things that have piled up and release. Our brother said about quarrels, having quarrels with one another. Well, there are things. You don't have to be openly quarreling to have some kind of offense in your heart. God is so interested in just letting all of those offenses go. Letting all of those things that are causing us stress and pain in our hearts. When you have something against somebody, it isn't bothering them so much as it's bothering you. And it's inhibiting you. And it's restricting you. And God wants it out of there. So that Christ can move in here. And then he says in the body that there's no schism in the body. There's nothing. The Holy Spirit can flow and bring us together in a way we don't even know. Let's just pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how our meetings have started out, Lord, with such Lord, a beautiful passage of the scripture that talks about how you want us to function and flow together in Christ, through Christ, with the Spirit of Christ providing the communion and the communication that's needed for all of these things to take place. And we pray, as you speak to us this week, as you work on the depths of our hearts, bringing maybe things up that have laid there a long time, voices and feelings and meditations that we've fellowshipped on that are not of you, that you want God. May we respond, Lord, and say, yes, Lord, take them away. Yes, Lord, cleanse me and make me whole. Refresh me, Lord. As we spend time together, Lord, may your Holy Spirit flow at the meal table, as we exchange pleasantries, Lord. Let the anointing of the body of Christ that would bring us together in a way we don't understand, let it flow, let it draw, let it loosen up everything that you want to fall away, that we can bring these things to the altar, Lord, and flow in the beauty of Christ that you want us to flow in. We pray this will be, Lord, a continuation. We know the beginning was started long ago, but let us grow into the stature, the fullness of Christ, and press on to where you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name, touch every heart and every life. Lord, we know there's some real struggles with grief and situations that our people are going through, Lord, shared and many that aren't shared. And we pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit will minister to them. We pray for a discernment and understanding so that we can speak healing words and encouraging words to each other during the time we're together. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we've got a few minutes to think about today and the rest of the week. And I have a few comments here, and then I'm going to ask Daryl or Jeff to come in with any announcements and anyone else with announcements. The first one here that I want to mention, though, is with regard to the young people. With a camp like this, there should be a meeting of the young people in the afternoon, mostly to plan what else you might want to do for the rest of the week. And I would like to know of two elders or deacons who would take responsibility to be at this meeting and just to oversee, and someone who maybe have a ministry or a desire to see these young people have a great time this week. So do we have two elders that would take that responsibility? It'll be something that you'll need to continue to do throughout the week. Just keep in touch and make sure things are going well. Don't have to be, I said elders or deacons, but if you're not an elder or deacon and you want to do it, that's fine too. Like two people like Terry Zimmer or... who else? Oh, and Mike Greif. Okay. Good. Okay, I feel great about that. The children. Now, we love the children, and we want them to have a great time at this week as well. And we don't always know ahead of time who might be able to take responsibility there. But I would just like to see the hands of a couple of people that would be the contact with us, so that if we have any questions, or I just wonder. I hope that the mothers have been thinking ahead of time, as I know I'm sure you have. Okay, there's, who am I seeing back there? I can't see that far. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sisters-in-law. Oh, back there. No, oh, just a minute. Tell us your names. Stand. Oh, Stephanie, yes. And?
Victoria.
Okay. Okay. Feel good about that? Now, at this camp, there's always a water baptism service, as far along as I can remember. And at the moment, I don't know, no one has come forward to say they want to be baptized this year yet, but it's always happened before. And usually, I've seen it where there were one or two that wanted to be baptized in water. And when the time came, there were 14 that got baptized in water by Thursday. It's usually Thursday after lunch, if the weather's okay. And if any of you want to maybe minister a little bit about water baptism, or just encourage people, or whatever the Lord leads for you to maybe say something about it between now and Thursday that would encourage people to be baptized. And I'm sure there are some here that have not been baptized, and probably it would be a benefit to you. So we need to minister a little bit about it before Thursday, and then we will need to appoint people to be in charge. Last year it went so very well. I was so pleased with the water baptism service. The people that took charge and the elders that went out in the water, and there were quite a few that were baptized, including, I'm thinking of, I can't remember anything this morning. The man that works on the grounds here. Coyne, what's his first name? Nikki's husband. Ron. Ron is his name. Yeah, he was baptized. And there were is that what you said? Okay. No. Okay. Okay. Well, you weren't here. Well, why am I looking at you for the Okay. I'm looking at Brian. I'm trying to get him to tell me what happened last year. Okay. So anyway, after all that foolishness, the water baptism service will quite likely happen again, and it will quite likely be a great blessing to people. Dave.
Brother Chris, I don't think you heard what they said.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to be in charge for the older children? I know there are mothers here that will take care of them anyway. But Maybe we'll just leave that for now, and if anyone wants to come and talk to me about it later, please feel free to do so. Okay, I think we've got just time is slipping on here. Now, Daryl may cover this, but we need a camp nurse here, and I'll leave that up to Daryl to talk about what else that he needs to talk about. We have appreciated having Daryl be in charge of the finances for the camp and dealing with all of that, including placing people in rooms that hopefully will be okay with you, that will fit your needs. And but now Daryl is only going to be here for 2 days. Jeff Olson is assisting Daryl, and Jeff will be in charge after. Well, he's more or less in charge now, but when Daryl leaves, it's Jeff that you can come to if you have any questions regarding rooms or whatever. He'll be, as I said, assisting Daryl and taking over what he does for the time being, at least. So, Daryl, would you come, please?
And I'll tell you this, I've only been working with him for a day. Don't ask me, ask him. He is so efficient. It's wonderful. He's a treasure to have to help to work with. What a beautiful family. What a beautiful family. When I'm waiting for reservations to come in, I always wonder when they haven't come in, if we're going to have enough people to come. And I always ask the Lord, I say, Lord, you know who you want there, and you'll put it on their hearts to come, and I just hope and pray that they listen to your voice and come as you've asked them to come. And here you are. And there's more coming. So everybody asks me, how many are coming? So maybe I shouldn't tell you, and then you still have to ask me, or I get to talk to somebody. But there will be over 100. And that's all it. That's, who cares? Does it matter? And, you know, not everybody has reserved. And they know who they are. And so they even know where to go when they get here, where their room is. It's wonderful. I said, well, you're just like family. You know that. You know, if you come home, there's always going to be a room somewhere, some way, you know, even if we give you something on the floor, so you're all right. So I know the most important thing you want to know is, when do we eat? And so breakfast, for those that don't know, is 7:30 to 8:30, and we do have people that have not come before. Stand up, please. I'd like you to stand. Those have not been to Pine Low before. Now, I want everybody else to look around and see. Now, you may know these people, but they haven't been here before. Isn't that wonderful? Look at that. Make sure you get to meet them. And when you're in the dining hall, I want you to try something. Okay? Sit at a different table with somebody different at least once a day. I know you like to sit with friends and you want to meet and all that, but you know what? We're all friends and we're all family.
Am I different? Yes.
Absolutely. And I love you even more. You're not the best, though. Lunch is at noon. As soon as the service is over, then we go over to the dining hall. Supper's at 5 o'clock, correct? 5 and 7, right, for meeting tonight, 7?
Yeah.
5 o'clock for supper. And please try to be on time. I know there's activities and things, and sometimes it drags a bit later, but, you know, you need to be there at 5 to have dinner, and then you can get yourselves ready for service. The elders and deacons meet in the building next door here at half hour before service time for prayer together. And this place will be open for prayer to come as well. And so when you come in here, please do not visit, but be quiet for those that are waiting upon the Lord for the service. Swimming. Oh, and in the evening, there will be lunch, or there will be snacks over at the dining hall as we had last night. after the service for a beverage and some fruit or, you know, something to help you sleep at night. Well, I always liked something in the tummy before bed. Swimming, 1:30 to 4:30. Okay, no swimming other than that. No usage of the water, going in the water, please. There's no insurance for you on the grounds. The campground, we sign a waiver of insurance. So there, if you're hurt, you have to rely on your own insurance to cover you. With the swimming, anyone that's a child, now I'm talking about fairly good children ages, okay? I would say at least, what, to 14? I'm not comfortable with somebody not seeing. Always a buddy system. Even if you're older, make sure there's two of you, not by yourself, and stay swimming within right in this area. You're not allowed to go outside beyond it. But for the children especially, we need a parent or an adult that's taking very serious responsibility watching the child. Not visiting and then checking. But when they're in the water playing, there's somebody's got to have eyes on those kids. Because, and they're underneath, okay? And we just don't want to have that happen. We have not had it happen. It's been wonderful. And we just like to keep that record. The Holy Grounds Cafe will be open in the afternoon for snacks or for ice cream treats and things like that. So make sure you help the kids with giving them some money to treat themselves. This will pertain to basically everybody. Do not go into the woods around the grounds. There's the play areas of the diamond for ball, for soccer, for basketball, for volleyball. But don't go into the woods beyond that because there is animals. And we don't want to have you encounter animals. Now, we know there's deer all around kind of thing, but there's other kinds of animals that are more dangerous out there. And so the owners of the grounds have asked us to make sure that we can stay out of the woods and not try to walk on trails back there. And, you know, they always say the last thing you hear is the most important. And it's called registration. So for those that have not paid for the registration, if you would please see me at lunchtime. So either during lunch or after lunch, I will stay there at the in the dining hall for maybe a half hour to an hour after lunch for those that need to register so that we can get the financial matters of the camp taken care of. And we really appreciate that. Did you want to talk about the, using this building then? Did you want to think what we talked about using the building just for?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, did you want me to?
Well, I thought you already did, because you just mentioned that you come in here to pray, right?
Yeah, but that's for other things, too.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, I'll try to convey the message that Daryl asked me to convey. Anyway, this building can be used, if you wish to come in, as he said, for prayer, but they would like you not to use it for anything else other than our meetings and coming in for prayer in this particular building. So,
if the young people are going to have that portion of their meeting, that's fine for here.
Oh, yeah, okay. Meetings, but not, it's not a play area in here. So, okay, I think I got it straight. Let's just bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence this morning, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we pray that you will just go with each one for this throughout the rest of this day. Bless our fellowship, dear Father, and may we be a blessing to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.